This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill. Welcome in. It's Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. If you want to join us this morning, we're here till 10 o'clock. The number's 312-332-3776. How about that, Abdallah? Live sports. It's back. UFC last night, 249. You know, all right, here's the hot take.
Whew.
To me,
they were hitting.
To me, not that strange that there were not people there. Like, yes, obviously,
yeah,
we would all like fans in the stands. But, you know, my impression was, it's fantastic to have something back to watch, to kind of go along and follow throughout the day, because UFC, you could watch UFC basically all afternoon into the evening, mm-hmm. and then you get the pay-per-view event of 249 that took place in Jacksonville last night. To me, it was refreshing to finally see competition that wasn't old replays, and also something that, okay, they accomplished it. It went on. Now we'll kind of have to find out how this goes for the next week or so and make sure that everyone who partaked was healthy. But basically, here we go. We have some live sports.
I feel like it's different, and it's going to be different for each sport. You know, like UFC, I think you can kind of do that with no fans, you know? Like and it's not going to seem that weird with no fans. You know, you've got, you know, the trainers yelling, that kind of stuff. But ultimately, to watch a football game with no fans, to watch a baseball game with no fans, like, think about to when the White Sox played in Baltimore and there were no fans. Like, that was weird. You know, like, it's going to be weird, but I'd rather have weird sports than no sports, right? Like, to watch the UFC last night and what they pulled off, and it was, like you said, great to see live sports, great to bet on people fighting. I loved it. My four-fighter parlay hit. It was fun to gamble on sports once again. And to see, you know, to have something where people were mutually, you know, besides The Last Dance, it's like kind of one of the first things that everybody's been like mutually watching at the same time, because that's what sports is. It's the only thing the only appointment viewing that we really have left. You know, like you can, you know, every show that's out that people binge, you can watch Ozark in a day or 2 days or whatever. And everybody's like, okay, I've seen Ozark, and then you move on, right?
Yeah.
But sports is the only thing that is appointment viewing that's not, you know, Game of Thrones anymore or something like that. Everybody gets together and watches, you know, the Bears. Everybody gets together and watches, you know, Cubs fans get together and watch Cubs games. White Sox fans get together and watch White Sox game, whether it's on Twitter or whatever. NBA Twitter hasn't had anything to talk about except for The Last Dance and people, you know, when's the NBA going to come back? But ultimately, the least weird sport to watch without fans to me would be the UFC and NASCAR, and those are the first two that are going to be coming back.
It'll be UFC, NASCAR, and then golf, because
yeah,
all three are going to hit
yeah
here.
I don't need to hear somebody yell, "Guard the hole!" as soon as somebody hits. You know, like
yeah,
that to
I mean,
me, like not having that is going to be fine.
All of that stuff adds to what we want to see. But the end of the conversation, in my view, is that we just need it to happen. We need some sports to kind of follow. And, you know, this is kind of the point to this entire weekend. If you're not a UFC person, it's okay. This isn't a conversation to say you have to be a UFC fan. I think if you are a sports fan of any type, though, what this is a trial balloon. Because the way the UFC went about the testing and keeping their eye on their athletes to then set up the situation to then hopefully put on an event where only a few people who were sick were then put away onto the side and not affecting other people, hopefully this is a trial balloon to your favorite sport, right? Like if you're not a UFC person, then hopefully what was accomplished last night, and listen, this is going to be just like how sports were a part of a marquee moment in the start of this pandemic with Rudy Gobert testing positive and then basically every other sport shutting down and the rest of the country kind of taking notice that, like, there's something really serious going on here. Hopefully this event last night, 249 UFC, a pay-per-view, held in Jacksonville, Florida, with no fans. Hopefully this is the trial balloon that goes up that then allows the rest of sports to start to get back, to start to get their footing, to start to get to some level of normalcy. Even though we are not living in normal times, maybe the UFC just laid out the framework to how you test, how you put on an event, and now other sports can kind of jump in with their ideas to kind of get back to what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, it's obviously easier because you have less people involved to put on a fight. Like, you only have two fighters at a time in there.
But ultimately, Abdallah, if you're watching last night, when individuals were heading towards the ring. And then they dapped up everyone on their team. Mm-hmm. And then they go to the official to get checked before they go into the ring.
A lot of touching.
How many people? There were like 15 to 20 people standing around waiting. Officials, UFC officials, mm-hmm. team members. Listen, there were quite a few people there last night. It's not like there were just two individuals in the arena fighting it out, right? Like, there were a lot of people there. So if they are able to put this on successfully, I mean, because one of the original ideas for the NBA was that the league was telling their teams and their organizations that the max amount of people in the arena would be 35 people. And that would be coaches, players, mm-hmm. and trainers. And then that's the amount of people that would be around the court. To me, watching UFC last night on ESPN, it sure looked like there was about 35, if not more, people around the ring, right?
No, absolutely. And I think that, I don't know if it's going to, increase the likelihood that baseball comes back sooner and the NBA comes back sooner or football starts on time. But I think that it's good to see that a sport figured it out. We'll see in the next coming weeks if anybody that was there, gets it or tests positive for it. But there's going to be a risk from now until there's a vaccine, until whatever, until they have antibody testing that everybody can get and everything like that. There's going to be a risk. When baseball comes back eventually, there's going to be a risk. When the NBA resumes, there's going to be a risk. People that go to work every day still, people that go to the store, there's still going to be a risk until there is a vaccine developed, and sports and workplaces and things are going to have to find ways to conduct business safely. Look, the UFC, just like everything else down here downtown, you and I are at the ESPN studios along with Tyler, where everything here is a business, right? We're all a business, and you have to find a way to get back to conducting business safely, right? Whether it's, safely opening the state back up whenever that happens. You see it happening around the country. And so businesses have to find a way. Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NFL, even college football, it's all a business. And they have to find ways to go back to conducting business safely. It's not like these things are just going to go away. They're not going to say, football is a contact sport. No more football. They're going to have to find ways to do this with the majority of the players coming in, getting tested, regular testing, isolation if they have to. Then you have to, develop a plan for what happens if a player on a team gets it, if a couple players on a team gets it. What do you do then? That's what you're going to have to find out next. And Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic laid out a plan of what baseball is looking to do here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, if you're not a UFC guy, I get it. But maybe some baseball interests you. 312-332-3776. And this is why. Ken Rosenthal yesterday in The Athletic. Here's the lead paragraph. Nothing is official. Major League Baseball will discuss its plans for the 2020 season in a conference call with owners on Monday. If the owners give their approval, the league will present its proposal to the players' union on Tuesday. So you say, Bleck Abdallah, what's the plan? So here's the plan. Basically, you could break it down like this. Major League Baseball's plan is to start in early July, and that would have a target of about 80 games in the regular season. Now, the column points out that 80 is not a hard set number. It could be 78. It could be 82. It would be around 80 baseball games. The thing to point out there is many have kind of floated out the idea of 100. So clearly, Major League Baseball and the proposal that will take place on Monday, which will be the big news in the sports world, will be that baseball is looking at a season that is less than 100 baseball games. The next item on the list would be you would play opponents from your own division and the same division from the opposite league. So in the geographical area is where you would be playing these baseball games. Therefore, the NL Central, the AL Central, those are the teams you would play for this about 80-game regular season. This is the proposal for Major League Baseball per Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic. Mm-hmm. Next up would be, and I think this is important, because think about some of the hot spots of the coronavirus and this COVID-19 pandemic. You think about New York City, you think about Chicago, you think about the West Coast, Los Angeles, right? Seattle, also a hot spot. Here is a piece of information that I thought was interesting. They're going to try and open as many home parks as possible, even pointing out, even in New York City, one of the hot spots of this pandemic. They are planning on trying to open the ballparks in New York City. And if a team does not feel comfortable using their home ballpark, they are going to allow them to use their spring training facility and to operate out of their spring training facility to conduct this about 80-game season. The final thing to kind of note that is in this proposal would be the expanded playoffs. Baseball would be looking at, instead of having five teams per league get into the playoffs, they'd be looking at seven. Two additional teams would get into the playoffs, and the way it would work would be this playoff format. Each team, the best record in each league, would get a bye. The rest of the teams, the six teams left in the league, would then play a best of three series for the wild card round. So, Abdallah, as I lay out all this that's in The Athletic and the proposal that's going to take place with the owners tomorrow for Major League Baseball to get this 2020 season in play, what do you think of the idea that's laid out here?
I mean, look, it's something. You know, it's probably the best of the plans I've seen so far, you know, other than, you know, there's the operate, you know, having everybody operate out of the spring training cities. So you have an Arizona league, you know, you have a Cactus League and you have the Grapefruit League out of Florida. This seems like a better option for that. I like that this is an option that, you know, has dates set. You know, I like that this is an option that says, you know, we're going to play regionally and you're going to play the AL and the NL teams. What I wonder about this proposal is, let's say the Yankees don't feel comfortable playing in New York. The Mets don't feel comfortable playing in New York and they move to their spring training facilities. Are they added to that division or do they still have to operate out of their own division and have to travel, you know, to Boston, you know, to
right.
the
it's,
other
it's
cities.
A lot of travel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how do you adjust for that? You know, if a player doesn't feel comfortable going to that team, like if the player's like, hey, I want to play, but I'm not going to New York, you know, like how do you adjust for that? I'm sure this is all stuff that's going to be addressed in the call and with the players union. And then, you know, Rosenthal also goes into, you know, the playoff shares are divvied up by gate. That's how you earn playoff shares, is that right. Money, that revenue, the playoff shares that the players get is 100% coming from the revenue that the baseball teams get from fans attending games. So if you don't have fans attending games, how do you get that playoff share? Is this just something that players don't get this year or something like that? Like, how do you divvy this up? Because, you know, Jesse Rogers reported on a rift between the players and the ownership about the salaries and how these, you know, how this stuff is going to get divvied up, because a lot of it is tied, a lot of the bonuses are tied to gates and whether or not fans are going to games. And if you don't have fans going to games, you don't have revenue, you know, for those issues. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not this is approved. You know, I like that it's that they're setting dates, right? So this is something that's going to start, you know, in June with spring training, if it's safe. This is a you know, beginning of July start to the regular season. And this is something where, like, the NFL has so far, you know, the NFL obviously put out their schedule earlier this season. And if you start constructing a schedule, it's easier to adjust this. So, like, if baseball starts working now on a schedule that involves these teams, that's what they want to do here. They want to get this approved by the players. They want this to get this approved by the owners, all the major league clubs and everything else, so they can start making a schedule. Because you can't just say, hey, guess what? We're starting in June, spring training, and then we're going to start in July. Okay, well, where are we going? Where are we playing? How are we doing this? You have to book hotels. You have to book flights. You have to do all this kind of stuff, and you need to start setting dates. That's why the NFL, I think, is good about starting their business and conducting their business normally, because you have to schedule all this stuff. You have to plan all this stuff out. Creating a Major League Baseball schedule, creating an NBA schedule, an NFL schedule is insanely hard. So you have to go about doing this, and then you have to have contingency plans for what if a player gets test positive? What if half a team tests positive? What do we do then? So it's good to see that they're planning this stuff. I like that for sure.
Yeah, it also lays out that the expanded rosters may go from 45 to 50 players per team, and also the parties, the players and the owners, would need to determine medical protocols. For instance, how would they react if a player becomes infected with the virus throughout this season? So this is encouraging, though. Do you like the plan? 312-332-3776. If you're a Cubs fan, if you're a White Sox fan, that means there will be more Cubs-White Sox games this summer if this is the plan that goes through. Your thoughts next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Tomorrow, the owners of Major League Baseball will hear a proposal on how to get the MLB season back up and running. I know it hasn't taken place, but I mean, they were in spring training before this all got shut down. So to get this season played in 2020, Will Chase tweets us on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah and at Chris Bleck. Guys like Clayton Kershaw apparently didn't feel comfortable reporting and leaving his family. He was quoted in saying that. So do players like that get fined or suspended if they don't report, or is there something written into the new CBA or maybe an amendment as we kind of look at this pandemic shortened season? What would guys do? Like, how would they treat? And I know that that's something that the owners and the players union would have to agree. You know, my and to Will's question here, here's my stance on this, right?
Give me a hot take.
Well, I don't think this is a hot take. I think with people in society struggling to get by and people just hoping that they can go back to work, if there are millionaire baseball players where the owners and the infrastructure and the league have set it up so they can handle this situation and accomplish something so people can go back to work, mm-hmm. because it's not just about the Clayton Kershaws of the world.
No.
It's about the people who work for teams who have been furloughed. It's the whole system.
Or furloughed.
Whatever you want to do. The point that I would point out is that would be pretty sad and pathetic if there were high-priced baseball players who say, you know what, all the other sports are figuring it out and they're all getting back and they're all going to do it. And we're going to sit on the side because we don't want to, because guess what? We've made the most money and it's in my pocket and I don't care.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not something that's going to go over well for baseball.
Long
term, that will not work well.
I have a feeling if it's going to be a, you don't show up, you don't get paid type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, Adam Silver had a press conference or a call with the NBA players and basically told them your CBA is trash at this point, because this is a pandemic and it doesn't really matter. You know, we're in unprecedented times. And because of those unprecedented times.
Was that your PSA voice?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. because of these unprecedented times,
your
contracts don't matter because we have no idea how to handle this and we couldn't plan for this. And there's a clause in every contract that's called a force majeure clause. And a lot of people are finding out about that clause, right around now. And because of that, we can get out of contracts. And so, or we cut everybody's salary. If you only play 40% of the games, we're only paying you 40% of your salary. And if you don't show up for work, we're not going to pay you.
It did feel on Friday that Adam Silver had a real talk moment,
yeah,
with the NBA Players Union.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he laid out, was like, hey, remember all the nice ideas that we kind of had? And like, yeah, we'll reduce salaries, but everyone's okay. It felt like he was letting the players know that if we don't play basketball, none of you will be getting paid.
Well, he basically said that, look, we have 30 to 40% of our revenue is generated through ticket sales. And be prepared to have a cut salary because we don't know if we're going to be able to have fans in the stands next season. So even if we don't finish this season, let's say they don't finish this season, right? They get to next season. They started in December, whatever they try to figure out, and they play all 82 games of the NBA season, but there are no fans, and their 30% of the revenue is just not there. Y'all are getting 30% less of your money. Because that's just how this works.
Right.
Because this is unprecedented times. And because of these unprecedented times.
Stop with the PSA voice.
Well, you have to say it when you say unprecedented.
But you're not a PSA guy. You're not a public service guy.
During these unprecedented times, you have to, everybody's got to give back a little bit.
Yeah,
and
right.
You're not going to get if we're not getting 30%, you're not getting 30%.
Yeah,
that's just how it's going to work.
You got to be flexible. You have to adapt, right?
So 30% of your $25 million per year contract, just deal with it. Just deal with it.
So the reason we're talking about this, obviously the UFC got back to things last night. It was fun to watch. I enjoyed it. In The Athletic yesterday, Ken Rosenthal reported that the owners are going to get a proposal for Major League Baseball on Monday. And then if the owners approve this proposal for a 2020 season, the league will then present that proposal to the players union on Tuesday. And in the proposal, there's a couple of things in here that, Abdallah, I think if we take a look at this, you know, if it really works well, we might get baseball like this going forward. You know, think about the usual offseason in baseball. We all kind of try and have a think tank and come up with all these ideas to save the sport of baseball. How can baseball get back to being the sport of sports,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that always comes up is the regular season is too long. Well, in this proposal in The Athletic that the owners are going to hear on Monday, cutting the season to 80 games. Now, obviously, I think this should go for any sport. So like today or tomorrow, when you see the TV ratings for the UFC stuff, you also have to keep in mind, like, no one's doing anything. Everyone's at home and there's nothing else live on TV.
Well, half of it you also had to pay for.
Okay. But if the prelims are incredible ratings for ESPN, you have to take it with a grain of salt, right?
It didn't shut off till like 9 o'clock, right?
I think a little bit later than that.
Well, that last fight ended around 9 o'clock before they went into the pay-per-view part.
Right. And so if that does well, obviously people are interested.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a possibility here that baseball for 80 games, the TV ratings could be incredible.
Oh, absolutely.
Something we haven't seen in years. And especially here in this city with two baseball teams, you say it's a smaller sample size because you're only playing 80 games. Now you could kind of make the argument that every Cubs and White Sox game is a must-see television event, which is every single day starting in early July. So to me, for the people who consistently say baseball's 162 is too long, this might be your best season you've seen in quite some time. It will have a lot of intrigue. I think it's also pretty intriguing that the divisions will be you're playing your own division and then playing the opposite same division in the other league. So Central's against each other, the East against each other, the West against each other. I think that's pretty interesting. You're going to get a lot more Cubs White Sox this summer.
Yeah, it makes sense. And, you know, I've always been a proponent of the, you know, I would, you know, as baseball seasons ebb and flow, right, Chris? There's also topics. Baseball's back. It's the greatest thing in the world. You know, it's the best day of the year, opening week. What are we going to do? We've got baseball. Who's going to win divisions? And then you kind of just get into this lull of there's
too
much baseball.
And like a week later, no one pays attention.
A week later, no one cares. And then you get to the All-Star break, and people are like, well, how can we fix this thing? How can we fix that no one cares? And then it always gets back to, well, cut 62 games off the season and make it 100 games or whatever it is. Make it something like that. Because it would be, and you're like, well, they'll never do that. Owners will never do that because they get a gate. And it's like, well, if five people are going to games, who cares? Right? Like if half your stadium's empty and you could get more people into your stadium because you only have 40 home games a year and there's only 40 chances to see your team and you can't just walk up on the day of and buy a ticket like you used to be able to, then maybe you would get more money. You could charge more for TV ads, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think that you will see things in this, you know, make it weird. Right? That's what people have been saying. And even former major leaguers have said it. You know, I believe John Smoltz said it too. He's like, make it weird. You want to do DHs in both leagues? Do DHs in both leagues. Now is the time to try weird stuff because this season is going to have might not have an asterisk to it. The World Series winner might not have an asterisk to their name, but we're all going to know, right? Like, we're all going to be like, okay, yeah, you won the pandemic here. Good job. You know, like, cool. You won the 82-game season. You did half as much work. You know, like, we're all going to know that this season is different than any other season. You know, with college football, there may be Big Ten play. There may not be SEC play. There may not be Big 12 play. You know, like there, this, everything is going to be weird about this season. The NBA season, they may not even play all 82 games. They may only get to 70 games and then start the playoffs. So we're all going to know that this season is going to be unlike any other season. So why not try all the weird stuff you want to try?
One of the ideas in this proposal is expanding the playoffs from 5 to 7 games in each league. All right. So if we go back to last season in the American League, here are your 7 playoff teams. If this is a comparable thing to look at. So you got the Astros, the Yankees, Twins, Athletics, Rays. They all made the playoffs last year. The two teams that would then get in would be the Cleveland Indians and the Boston Red Sox. That would be your 7 for the American League. For the National League, you get the Dodgers, the Braves, the Nationals, the Cardinals, Brewers, all made the playoffs last year. The two teams that would get in under 7 getting into the playoffs would be the New York Mets and the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Cubs last year would have missed by 1 game to get in. But, you know, that's another conversation. Each week we get to the point of the baseball season when we get to the All-Star break where people say, you know, if more teams made the playoffs, less teams would be out of it throughout the dog days of the MLB season. You know, we always do that take, too. Like, if you expand the playoffs, then instead of it being...
less teams would be tanking.
Right. Well, it's not necessarily the tanking argument, but, like, teams like the Reds, the Rockies, the Giants, you're still sniffing around the playoffs, even though you're not a playoff team, just because now you're expanding the field. The teams lower in the standings now have more to convince their fan base throughout the summer that they're, in air quotes, still trying and still competing for a playoff spot.
Well, the difference also, too, is that you get more playoff teams, right? More playoff teams means more revenue because you've got more playoff series to put on TV. You know, the part of the NBA's proposal that Adam Silver talked about was a round-robin style to get the 7th and 8th seeds for the NBA for this season, and that would be more playoff games on TV that would generate more revenue for the league that they've missed out on because of no fans in the stands and the missed time and the games that they're going to have to cancel. So anything more teams in the playoffs is better this year. Just do whatever you want to do. Just get the sport on TV.
Black and Abdallah, if you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
I'm serious. What's wrong with people? I just don't get it. Really happened?
I believe you.
Do you want to hear the full story?
Sure.
So I'm at the grocery store yesterday, right?
Yeah. Social distancing.
Word of advice. Tyler's producing the show. Tyler, don't go grocery shopping on a Saturday afternoon.
No.
I didn't need to grocery shop. I just needed a few items.
Well, that's not. I mean, you got to go. You got to go get everything or nothing. Like, you can't just go and be like, I need milk today.
No, I know.
You go when you have nothing.
See, surprising to probably no one, my strategy in this was not flawed. I had the correct strategy that I was going to use to get in, get out. I know exactly what I needed. I knew where I needed to go, where I needed to pay. I have my mask on, hand sanitizer in the pocket. I'm ready.
Strapped.
I am ready. Boy, it does seem like there's many people out there who are completely oblivious to what the H is going on in the world.
I feel like it depends on the store you go to. Like,
a grocery store. I was in a grocery store.
No, I understand. But I feel like it depends on the
brand name grocery store.
I feel like it depends.
Sometimes they have a pianist playing in the background.
What pinky out? What bougie pinky
come
out
on, you know.
Store are you people going know. To that has a pianist?
You know. People know. That
they sell
gave
rich
away.
People cookies.
Yeah, they do.
People know.
They sell crumpet-ass cookies is what they sell.
Okay. Yeah, well, all stores sell that. I mean, come on. 7-Eleven has those.
Oh, no. So my point was, I think it depends on not the brand name store that you're going to. I think it depends on the actual store, because I've heard tales that like that of certain stores of the name, the brand name that, you know, it's a store that likes to keep you whole, isn't it? Is it a store that likes to keep you whole?
That's not where I went, but I know what you're talking about.
It's not that store? Okay. Is it a store that has a certain Italian flair to it?
My lettuce
does it have
is
a
not,
certain Italian my, flair to it?
Perhaps.
Okay.
My lettuce isn't $18 for a head of lettuce.
That's not true. That's not true. That's like saying.
Have you ever tried to buy something at Whole Foods that you can get anywhere?
That's like saying going to get coffee at Starbucks is $8. Shut up, you're wrong. Okay, it's not. Whole Foods is not like that. But there are certain stores that that are doing this differently than other stores. You can tell. There are stores that have the lines outside where it's one in, one out, like you're going to a bar, you know, on a Saturday night when we could go to bars. And there are other stores that are just like, I don't care if you lick stuff or not, man. You can just come in if you want to. Like, wear whatever you want to. You want to taste the fruit before you buy it? Sure, go right ahead. Like, we don't care still. You know, there are certain, and I feel like in my neighborhood that there are a few stores that don't care. There are a few stores that do care, and we stick to the stores that do care.
Listen, I think yesterday it was a free-for-all. I walked into this place, and I don't think, so here's the story, right? So I have my strategy. And I go in and I get my item, but as I'm doing it, I feel like it's kind of like a video game where if you see someone coming down one of the aisles or one of the areas, you know where there's produce, how there's usually blocks of items throughout the produce section that are like kind of like targets where you can kind of avoid and use them as blockers to get around people.
Sure.
But as you go around one corner, you see someone coming with a cart down that way, so then you stop and then you turn around. It's kind of like playing Pac-Man. Remember playing Pac-Man back in the day? How you could only go in one direction, and then you like had to figure it out and get away from the ghost. So I'm doing this throughout the store to get to the line to check out. And I'm not kidding you. I counted lots of people. I don't have a specific number for you, but I saw
23.
Many people wearing the mask like this. Okay? I'm going to cover my face, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is how you wear a mask, right?
Normal mask wearing.
Over the nose.
Yeah.
And the mouth.
Yeah.
Covering the entire
normal
face,
mask,
right?
Yes.
My eyes are out.
Eyes out.
But I'm lifting up my shirt over my face.
Your nose is covered. Your mouth is covered.
This is how I saw employees and customers
wearing
the mask.
Pull it down a little bit so you can see your nose. Yeah, you know.
Nose out.
Nose out.
Top lip out.
Top lip out.
Okay.
Got to keep that top lip covered.
No. This is not for a bit. I'm serious. Do people not understand that the entire point is to cover both the mouth and the nose?
I don't think they do.
Because there's employees, there's customers,
children.
There's ladies. I saw a lady up to a customer, and she walked up, a lady walked up to a worker, and instead of just with the mask, she pulled the mask down to talk to him.
You just have to talk louder. We're all talking louder. When I go to the
counter, people not get what this is?
You got to talk louder at the meat counter so they can hear you. You can't pull that down.
It makes me nervous. Like, seriously, my wife also had to go in, so we divided and conquered. And I got my items and I got the H out.
Haven't you seen the horror movies? You never split up.
And I went and sat on the curb outside by myself.
Just sitting there.
I texted her when I got out there. I couldn't handle it. There are too many people just milling about without masks. Too many people pulling the masks down. What is the purpose of wearing the mask on your chin?
There is none. There's none. It's the worst.
Like, did you see? It's I know it was a video that went viral last week.
Of the lady with
where she cut the hole?
Did she cut the hole because it's easier to breathe if you cut the hole through the mask? Oof.
So, I mean, it's not really like, it's not a story. It's an annoyance. And my strategy was good. All these people, what are you doing? Seriously,
they're wearing the mask.
Like, are you just not?
No, they're wearing the mask.
Aware of the medical reasons to why we're all wearing the masks?
I don't know.
It's not to protect you. It's to protect you, everyone else around you.
Can I ask you a somewhat related question?
Sure.
A somewhat related question. When you put on a mask, do you feel like you're about to go into a heist?
No, I kind of feel like a ninja.
Okay. I feel like I'm about to, because like you get in the car, you pull up to a place, you put your mask on, you're like, all right, let's do this. I feel like I'm about to commit a heist. Like every time I pull up to a place and I put a mask on, I'm like, all right, now you can't see it. Because look, I worked at a store once. I've been robbed. But now, like if a dude comes into a store with a mask on, you're like, oh, okay, just normal. But before when dude came in with a mask on, I was like, I am about to get robbed. And
can you tell the story?
So I was working at a Dairy Queen, in Schiller Park. Everybody knows that Dairy Queen on Schiller Park. I believe it's on Irving Park, across the street from it's not there anymore. But it was across the street from the Wendy's in a strip mall with an Aldi. I believe the Dunkin' Donuts bought it and turned it into one of the Dunkin' Robbins, you know, like the Dunkin' Baskin Robbins.
Yeah.
They just basically just bought the ice cream place.
Well, it's the same equipment inside, right?
Yeah. So I knew the owner, and the owner owns a bunch of Dairy Queens. He used to own still does own the Dairy Queen in Libertyville. If you're from up north, the Dairy Queen in Libertyville and the Dairy Queen in Grays Lake. Anyway, known him forever. Worked there during the winter. It was great. He basically said, I need someone to sit here in the winter and not steal from me because people were stealing.
Yeah, well, you're a trustworthy guy.
Exactly. And so I would just sit there and I watch like all of The Wire because it's the middle of winter. Who's coming in to Dairy Queen?
Only people to rob you.
People would come in and order like birthday cakes and stuff like that. Or they would ask me if I had burgers and I would literally just stare at the Wendy's and be like, no, go to Wendy's.
Y'all got burgers?
Y'all got burgers? No, I don't have burgers. This is a Dairy Queen. I know some Dairy Queens have burgers, but we did not have burgers. Anyway.
Isn't that cool treats, hot eats?
It is. We had hot dogs. We did not have hamburgers.
Those are hot.
They are hot when I put them in the microwave because we didn't have a hot dog roller. So anyway, this guy comes in to the store.
Did you have the little tray to put the – remember that tray you put the hot dogs in?
Yeah, of course. Ketchup or mustard. Right. Both? Okay. Sure. I'll put a little ketchup on it. You want relish? I got relish. I got to go to the back for onions. And so a guy comes in, and he has a mask on. He has a bandana around his face. And I'm like, that's weird. And then pulls out a gun. And says, give me everything. And I go, okay, sprinkles. I gave him all of the money. And he then left. And I pooped my pants. And then I didn't actually. But it's you ever had a gun in your face? It's weird.
No, I haven't.
It's not a great feeling.
I think you're the only host at ESPN 1000 that's been robbed at gunpoint.
Not a fun feeling.
No.
I think he got away with like $35 because there's I go, do you want the change? And he's like, no, just the dollars. And I'm like, okay, you're getting like $30. Like
that hot winter inventory.
You're not. Yeah, it's a Dairy Queen in February. You're not getting any money. So he ran off with it. And I called the police, and that was it. I closed for the night because I felt like that was the thing to do.
Did they catch him at the Wendy's buying burgers?
No, they didn't catch him. And there is a whole different ordeal that I'm not going to talk about on the air about them trying to identify the man because I described him and they had other descriptions in mind. So I warned the guy next door. I went into the Dunkin' Donuts. I go, hey, just so you know, I was robbed. Be on the lookout. I don't think they caught him. And he was like, oh, thank you. And then I left. Guy was wearing a mask. Long story short.
Did you put a dilly bar at least in the bag?
No, but I felt like I should have asked him, do you want a blizzard? Like, can I make you a blizzard while I call the police?
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Download the podcast of Black and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app. On our podcast page, you can also find our Bulls Backstory podcast. We've talked about the Chicago Bulls throughout the Last Dance airing on ESPN television. And on these Bulls Backstory podcasts, we have podcasts on the flu game, the shrug game from Jordan, Bulls versus Magic in the 90s playoffs, Steve Kerr's game winner in 1997, Jordan switching hands against the Lakers. All of those are individual podcasts that you can listen to right there on the ESPN Chicago app. And also on Friday night, we had a two-parter on the Bulls and the Knicks, the rivalry that we saw in the 90s. So all the Bulls Backstory podcasts are right there on the ESPN Chicago app. Download our podcast Black and Abdallah, right here on ESPN 1000. Each week at this time, we go to our segment called Good Question, Abdallah, where we rate and rank and score the hosts here at ESPN 1000. If you're a host and you ask a question to a guest on the phone and the guest responds with good or great question, you get a point. And in 2020, what does our leaderboard look like?
It's the same as it always is, Chris. Wow. Waddle in the lead. Wow. Got old number 87 with 19 and a three-way tie for second place between Jonathan Hood, Sylvie, and Cap.
All right, here's this week's good question.
Yeah, I got a question for you. Can I get an answer?
It's a final question, though.
You're going to take any questions?
Do you want me to let me finish talking? You ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. Don't interrupt me, okay? Just leave it plain and simple, all right?
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
Own or rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
Dad, I got a question for you. Can I get an
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
It's the question that drives us near. It's the question that brought you here.
How could you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance?
I'm on Burgundy?
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
Dad, I got a question for you. Can I get an answer?
Here's this week's edition of Good Question.
Social distancing for car drivers Bullock. Seems pretty easy, outside of the fact that you're driving a car real fast with a bunch of other cars, not so easy. But the social distancing thing, I get it. Your motorhome to the car, and that's cool. But we know racing teams are there, and we see pit crews out there. We see a lot of guys working on the car that are awfully close together. What has been talked about as far as the rest of the team and how their Long procedure question. Is going to be?
Yes, that's a great question.
At what point in your career do you not listen to what's going on in the offseason and just kind of wait to show up? Or are you always interested in what your team is doing in the offseason?
No, that's a great question.
Charles, before we let you go, a lot of talk here in Chicago as well that had they not broken this thing up, they would have won a seventh, a fourth in a row. How do you feel the Bulls would have done had they kept that team intact the following year?
You know, that's an interesting, great question.
Wow. Jeff, I know this is a great person's problem.
Back to back.
Most of the average United States citizens probably don't care and they won't pass the hat. But how much financial fear is in the eyes of these owners where cash flow is king and none of that cash flow is actually going through the system?
Sound like you said cat flow.
That's a great question.
Dana, this was supposed to take place
April 18th. Wow, big week from Golic Sr.
In California, ESPN, Disney. Asked you not to hold it
beard.
At that
Have you
point.
Seen
now
that
we're
beard
three
he's
weeks later,
now?
And oh, it is beard. Going to be held. What was the biggest difference for not having it then and having it now?
Great question.
Not only that, he got a great question from Dana White.
Well,
pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, Gold Senior, big week for good question.
Nothing from Cap, nothing from Sylvie, nothing from Hood. So Waddle taking a commanding four-question lead.
I thought that didn't Sylvie have an almost question?
So Sylvie had that's a good one. It was like a.
That's good.
That's good. Yes.
Yes. That's good is not a good question.
No. But it was implying the good question.
You got to say it. The rules are the rules.
Look, I understand the rules. I just submitted it to the good question committee for approval. It was denied approval. I report. You guys decide. That's all I'm
It's not us deciding. It's the rules. The rules decide.
Yeah, but if you ask me a question, I say that's a good one. You know I'm talking about the question.
But the one, that's not how you score a point.
It's implied good question. We say good question, great question.
Well,
interesting questions don't count. That's why when Charles Barkley.
Good points.
Yeah, neither do good points. But when Barkley said that's an interesting, great question, he said great question.
No, I know that.
I'm just telling the people.
I'm just telling you, though, that's it. That's the game.
No, I get get the bit.
Those words.
You don't need to explain the bit to me.
Well, lock it in.
You came up with the bit.
Those
I understand
are the words
the
that
bit.
Lock it
we
in.
Talked about the bit. We debated whether doing the bit was a good thing or not 3 years ago. We've talked about the bit. I get the. You do not need to explain the bit to me or to Tyler.
No, I mean
we get the three of us get the bit.
Yeah.
But when someone asked me, when Mitchell and Desplaines asked a question, and someone says, or Waddle asked a question to Mitchell and Desplaines, and Mitchell and Desplaines says, that's a great question, Mark. No, it doesn't count. Mitchell and Desplaines is not a guest.
Right. Yeah.
As much as he calls, he's not a guest.
I'm with you.
I love Mitchell and Desplaines,
too. I'm with you.
Brings that fire.
I totally agree with you.
Great question.
100% agree with you.
Great point. Great agreement.
None of that counts, though, for scoring points.
It doesn't.
That's the bit. You have to say the words, and that locks in the point.
Yeah, that's why Waddle has 21 of them, and Cap, Sylvie, and Hood are still stuck on 17 for this week.
All right, coming up, we're going to get into the NFL schedule. The 10 best games that I'm looking forward to on the schedule that are not Bears-related. Obviously, you know, the 16 games for the Chicago Bears are the ones that I mark first, that I am interested in, but there are 10 games around the National Football League that I think have mass appeal, that I think we're all going to be excited for this football season. When you look at the Bears' schedule, really, when you kind of go through game by game, there's some opportunity there to get ahead of the schedule. What I mean by that is there's some opportunity there, Abdal, to get some wins early, and I think that's something that's important for this Bears team, because last season, it felt like confidence kind of swayed at one point, especially early, especially in the quarterback, and if you can get past that, maybe this team could get back to the style of play that they had 2 years ago when they went 12-4.
When the schedule came out, I paint, and still looking at it, I can paint a picture to 6-1 to start the season.
And that would be a fantastic start.
If everything goes well, this team could start 6-1. They could also start 2-4.
If they start 6-1, they're making the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. I think so. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I went through and had 6-1 and still ended the season 9-7.
That's where I fell too. 9-7s were kind of looks, but I've also felt that it's been very 9-7-ish all off season.
Yeah.
You know, this team has the great defense. They've improved on offense. Yeah, we can nitpick all the different moves that Ryan Pace has made, but this should be a playoff team, especially now with the extra wild card getting into the playoffs. That is opportunity for the Chicago Bears. The 10 games we're looking forward to on the NFL schedule next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.